get that. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. My name is Karen Borowski-Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, O God of Mercy, God of Light, hymn number 397 in Lutheran Worship.
Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you this morning for worship. It's the 11th Sunday after Pentecost. We are following the order of service as it's printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and absolution as you see it before you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, I'm So Glad Jesus Lifted Me. The lector this morning is Jamie Brown. May God open our hearts to receive the word
first reading
he speaks
is from
to us
Isaiah,
through Jamie.
Chapter 58, verses 9 through 14. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, Here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land, and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in the responsive reading of Psalm 103 as it's printed in your worship bulletin.
Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
Who satisfies your desires with all things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
The second reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 29. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking, words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? In that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words, once more, indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably and with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then he should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, But the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, All Who Believe and Are Baptized, hymn number 225 in Lutheran Worship. This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from St. Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verses 10 through 17. That's the Gospel reading that Jamie read for us just a few moments ago. Now, I suppose by now, many of you are familiar with the hype of Chick-fil-A, right? It was big news for Western New York when Chick-fil-A opened its first location on Walden Avenue across from Galleria Drive. The lines, every time I drive by there, the lines continue. Now, from what I understand, there's also a second location that's now going up right in front of Wegmans at Transit and Lawton. Boy, is that going to be a mess. But anyway, for a lot of people, Chick-fil-A is best known for its food. The chicken sandwiches that they serve particularly are ranked some of the best chicken sandwiches, at least from a fast food kind of perspective anyway. But for us as Christians, I think there's a little bit more that can be said about Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A really has not shied away from their Christian beliefs. In fact, one of the probably the most observable of their beliefs and practices is that they're not open on Sundays. I don't know if you realize that or not, but they take a very, very strong stand that none of their locations across the country are open on Sundays. And I think that's remarkable. That's a lot of money, by the way, that's lost when you think about the number of locations that they have across the country and airports and those kinds of things. It's a lot of money to be lost, but they see the importance of a Sabbath day's rest. You see, they want to give for their employees the opportunity, first and foremost, time to be able to spend with God, to be nurtured in His Word, to grow in His Word. Not only that, it's important for people to have a day of rest, isn't it? In its literal sense, a day just to kind of unwind, and as you unwind on that day, kind of going back to the old traditions, it's a day to be with family. And how, in so many regards in our culture, we've lost that. We're so preoccupied at times. But here's the thing. As serious and as grounded as Chick-fil-A is in that Sunday closing position, they're not Pharisaical about it. Do you know what I mean by Pharisaical? Think about the Pharisees of Jesus' time. Oftentimes they would give directive and there was no wiggle room for it. It was law and that was it, regardless of the circumstances. And that's kind of what you see what's going on in the reading for today, right? The synagogue leaders were kind of acting that way. And we'll get to that in a few minutes. But the Pharisees too at times, well, as Jesus would note, you're hypocrites. You say one thing, but then you do another. So Chick-fil-A in its stance, they're not Pharisaical. They recognize that there can be, and might very well be, a necessary need to make exception. There is some wiggle room. And that became evidently clear in 2017. Atlanta Airport in 2017 experienced a blackout, which required the entire airport to be shut down, flights delayed, all that kind of stuff. So you can imagine Atlanta Airport, I believe, is probably one of the busiest airports in our country. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were stranded that day in the airport. And while municipal government for Atlanta is trying to figure out, what do we do with all of these people? Where are we going to house these people? How are we going to feed these people? So they're trying to come up with a plan to take care of the needs of all these people from all over the world, all over the country. Well, as they were working that stuff out, the municipal government of Atlanta put out a tweet. I've never done it. I don't know the first thing about tweeting. But they put out a tweet. And that tweet said this: "We're working very, very hard to accommodate you, but today passenger meals will be handled by someone else, Chick-fil-A." It was a Sunday. You see, they saw the need. They saw the need of many, many people, the need for people to be fed. And so they made exception based on the need of people. The store that was always closed on Sundays was happy to open their doors on that particular day so that those who were in need could receive the aid that they needed. They responded compassionately. I think that's a remarkable story. I really do. I think it's remarkable witness, really. A remarkable witness that follows so wonderfully the example that Jesus gives to us in the gospel today. So let's just recap what we heard in the gospel as Jamie read it for us. The setting that we find ourselves in as we hear those words in the gospel is, if we could place ourselves there, we're in a synagogue, a Jewish synagogue with Jesus. And it's a Sabbath. Now, of course, Jewish tradition held that there was no work to be done on the Sabbath. Well, there that day in the synagogue was this woman. And the woman was plagued with a debilitating disease. She was crippled, bent over, hunched for 18 years. Could you imagine that? Now, people at that time saw that her disease was a result of an evil spirit that she had. That was the cause of it. But there in that synagogue that day, in an instant, with a touch, she was healed. Jesus relieved her. He freed her. You know, I couldn't help but to think of a passage from Isaiah chapter 40. I think it's verse 4 and 5. But I want to go back to the old King James Version. In the old King James Version, it reads like this: every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Couldn't help but to think of that passage. The crooked shall be made straight. And that day the crooked was made straight, literally. And that was great news of great joy. We can only imagine the relief that woman must have felt that day. And you would think that all the people that were around would have rejoiced with her, but not so fast, right? It caused uproar for some people. Not rejoicing, but uproar. Why? Because Jesus was a lawbreaker that day. He healed on the Sabbath, and that was a big no-no. You didn't do that. Unless it was a life-threatening thing, come back another time. Don't look for healing on the Sabbath. Come back. Now, of course, Jesus saw things much, much differently, didn't he? And he gives to you and me, as we think about this gospel reading, he gives to us a model on how we're called to live too. You see, that day Jesus saw the need of a desperate woman, and he responded mercifully. He responded gracefully. He responded in the way that he knew best for her. And in that case, he responded immediately, despite the day, despite the tradition. You know something? Here's an interesting thought. Jesus' critics saw the healing of that woman as a violation of the Sabbath, right? But here's the interesting thing. What they weren't able to actually see is that Jesus that day actually fulfilled the Sabbath day purpose. And what is that Sabbath day purpose? To provide blessing to God's people. He fulfilled it. Didn't see it. But he did. After 18 years. 18 years. She was made well. She had an encounter that day with the living Jesus, and her life changed. And as we could only expect, praise filled her heart for the goodness of God. You know, as I thought about this gospel account and Jesus seeing need and Jesus responding, I couldn't help but to think of us, you and me, and how he saw our deep need too. How he saw the debilitating and crippling effects of sin. And yet, without hesitation, he did what needed to be done, right? And despite the popular opinions of, the leaders at that time. He went into action, and he went into action immediately. He went to work for you and for me. And it's by his death and it's by his resurrection that we're free. It's by his death and resurrection that you and me are healed too. And each Sabbath, each Saturday or Sunday that we find ourselves in this place, we're reminded over and over and over again of the healing that we've received in him. Each Sabbath, as we come into this place, we're reminded over and over again of the forgiveness and the life that belongs to you and me. And it's each Sabbath in this place that we rest comfortably in his presence and his promises. Each Sabbath, we're reminded of the love that's ours in him and the love that's ours to share. And each Sabbath as we come into this place, we're reminded of our call and our role to see the needs of people around us just as Jesus did, to respond, to provide blessings to God's people. And how we need this place. How we need this Sabbath day. How we need those reminders, right? Because being real with each other, sometimes we can actually be a little bit like the synagogue leaders. Sometimes we can be a people who are more concerned with status quo despite the needs around us. Sometimes we can be a people who communicate inconvenience. Now's not a good time. Come back later. Sometimes we can ignore rather than act. And we're all guilty of it at times. But you know just as well as I do that there are needs all around us. And God is using us. God is depending on us to share and to respond to those around us with compassion and with love. It's what he did for that woman in the gospel. It's what he does for you and for me. And it's what he's using us to do for others. Now I get it. I know it's not easy work. And a lot of times it takes us getting out of the way of ourselves. It takes getting out of the way of our comfort zones. Our business maybe. Our opinions. But what a difference it makes when we do. How lives are impacted, how lives are changed, how people can come to know God's blessings and love through our hands, through our hearts, our compassionate service, our faithful witness. What a remarkable privilege that is. People around us need us. Our world, our communities, they need help. So much right now is crippled and debilitated. But restoration and healing, it's not impossible. And so I suppose today is the day. Today is the day for us to just stop, to see what's around us, figure out where we fit in and respond. Each and every one of us play a role. And I guess in a way, no one can fill our shoes. But when we begin to see our place in it all, in the end, just like there was in the gospel, there's great rejoicing. People are blessed. People are changed. They see God. And perhaps, for the first time in all of their lives, they find peaceful rest in God's presence and His promises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by me, Karen Borowski-Dowdle, to the glory of God for blessing me with my son, United States Air Force Captain William Borowski, who is being deployed to Afghanistan and must leave his pregnant wife and three very young children to protect our freedom. And to all our military who give up so much, leave their families, may never come back home, all to protect us here in the United States. This will be one of my last radio broadcasts, as I will be moving to Scott Air Force Base to help care for Billy's wife and three young children for the many months that he will be away in Afghanistan. Please pray for my son that he comes back safe, and for all our military. God bless us all. I invite you to please stand. Let's join together in speaking the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please this morning include Millie Sietzma. Millie continues to be hospitalized, and doctors are continuing to work to make her well. So please keep Millie in your prayers. Also keep John in your prayers and the rest of the family in your prayers. It's just change. And sometimes change is difficult and tiring and all that kind of stuff. So please pray that God would continue to give them the strength that they need to be support for Millie in her time of need. For Linda Robinson, that's Derek and Mary Beth Robinson's mom. Linda is going to be having some surgery this week, so please keep her in your prayers. For John and Joan Reinfuss, that's Larry's brother and sister-in-law. Both of them are having significant health issues, so keep them in your prayers. And also this morning we say prayers for Carol Ladragna's family. It did please our Lord to call Carol home to himself this past Tuesday. I just want to take a minute just to kind of share
with you, with some of you know Carol and have known Carol, but some of you don't. But Carol, for gosh, probably 20 years, was our Saturday musician here at St. John's. On a selfish side, I don't know ministry outside of Carol. For all the time that I've been here, Carol has been one of the Saturday musicians. But after a long battle, and it has been a long battle for Carol, God saw that she was getting tired and called her home. I'm not going to lie to you, last night was a tough one because yesterday would have been her first weekend here. Now, there were times where Carol wasn't here because, you know, her health. But you always in the back of your mind knew that she would be back. She would, you know, she would rebound, and more times than not, Carol rebounded. But yesterday, as I conducted the worship service and I looked over, Carol wasn't there, you know, and Carol won't be there. And it made my heart heavy. But then I said, stop it. Stop it. You can't do that. You know, you got to put your resurrection goggles on. And then I got thinking even more as I shared with the folks even at the funeral yesterday morning. She's not singing here, but she's singing there. She got to be welcomed into the greatest choir. No offense, Lois. A choir that's made up of angels, archangels, the whole company of heaven. Now, my hunch is probably Carol came in and tried to take over. But she's there. And she's singing. And there's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There's just joy for her. And the neat part about it all is that as we continue to sing here, and that was my theme yesterday in the funeral, we're going to sing. You know, our hearts are going to sing for Carol because we're celebrating her life. We're celebrating the new life that she has there. But every time we sing here, in this most remarkable way, God unites all of our voices with the church here on earth and in heaven. So in a very, very special kind of way, we still get to sing with her, right? And that's awesome. That's remarkable. So we pray for Carol's family in their time of grief. We pray for our St. John's family. She was a part of ministry here for a very, very long time. And like anybody that we have to say, see you later to for a little while, there's a gap. And there will be a gap. But with our God, there's always new life too. And that's happened for Carol. And I'm convinced it's going to happen for us too. So we pray. Just a couple more, just a few more here. I understand how that came across. Again, the way I communicate came across like I want you to pray right now. Hold on. Matt and Lindsay Welch. They were married here yesterday afternoon, so we pray God's blessings upon them as they begin their lives together as one. George and Carmi Del Conte, they were married here on Wednesday, so we pray for them. And we say a special, very, very special word of prayer for Bob and Karen Zeeland. If you don't know Bob and Karen, they typically worship on Saturday evenings as well. They're celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. So I wish I would have been able to introduce Matt and Lindsay, George and Carmi, to Bob and Karen for some insight. But anyway, keep those folks in your prayers too as they celebrate. Now we'll pray. Heavenly Father, as you have gathered us to your Son's feet, that we might hear his word, keep us from being anxious and troubled about the many things of this world, that with quieted hearts we might receive this one necessary thing. We pray for the Scholes, Schunk, Schwenk, and Siemens families, and all others in our congregation. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, keep our synod from shifting from the hope of the gospel. Work powerfully within our synod's leaders, giving them your energy to proclaim the glorious mysteries of Christ. Raise up faithful pastors willing to stand for the truth and to suffer for the sake of Christ's body. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as you have given us varied places to serve your many purposes in the world, help us to treasure our every vocation as a high calling, since it's a gift to us from your hands and serves your will. Keep us faithful in them, that glory may come to your name and good to our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look with favor on our land and bless us according to your mercy. Give us devout and faithful rulers, that we may not be governed according to the sinful desires of man, but according to your wise and just ways. Keep our military in safety, guarding them as they offer up their lives for our security. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as you allow us to participate in the sufferings of your Son, comfort us in the truth that he has endured them all before us and now bears us in the midst of them. According to your will, help, heal, comfort, and restore the sick among us. We pray especially today for Millie, for Linda, for John, and for Joan. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and of course, anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. Give skill and compassion to those who serve them in their need. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you for the faithful lives of the saints, remembering especially this day those who labored among us, serving your Son with the gifts that you gave to them. We raise up and we remember today with hearts of thanks Carola Dragna, who has faithfully served us in this congregation for many, many years, who shared with us the gift of music and helped us to raise our voices in praise to you. Lord, we entrust her now to your almighty and merciful care. And we fix our eyes on Jesus, who points us to life, new life, even in the face of death. Grant us to follow the good deeds and good examples and seek out ways to serve our Master, who so faithfully serves us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray a special prayer this morning for those who celebrate. We raise up before you Matt and Lindsay, George and Carmi, as they begin life anew as one. Help them, too, to fix their eyes on you, the perfecter of faith. Help them to see Jesus as the third strand necessary in their marriage, that they might build their lives on the rock-solid foundation of Christ's love and example. Lord, we say a special word of prayer for Bob and Karen Zeeland. 60 years of marriage, what a blessing. I'm sure not always easy, but how they have persevered through it all. Help them to continue to look to you. Help them to continue to draw their strength from you. Give to them many more years of happy and healthy marriage. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, dear Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My dear, dear friends in Jesus, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
opposing him is God who made the earth and heaven, hymn number 492 in Lutheran worship.
Have a seat for a moment. Good morning again. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you. I hope you've been blessed in worship this morning. I have a little confession to make to you this morning. So this week has been a whirlwind of things. And I got to yesterday afternoon at 2:30, and I had no sermon written for this weekend. So I hope that you were blessed in this sermon. I prayed, Holy Spirit. I didn't know what I was going to do. I went through a file folder looking. You know, I got a few years now. I could maybe yank something, but then I always feel guilty if I yank something. So I sat down. So I hope you were blessed. I looked at it at 3:35 yesterday afternoon, and I went, yep, looks good. So, oh my goodness. Some weeks are like that. Some weeks were just crazy like that, but that's the way it goes, and it's just a reminder of not to lessen the need to prepare for things, but it just goes to show that God is continually present in our lives and He's guiding us. So what hope and assurance that gives to us. I got a couple of announcements, not a whole lot really. The stuff is highlighted in your worship bulletin, of course, but there was a little error on the start date of when we moved back the service schedule. We're going to do that after the holiday in September, after Labor Day, which I think is, just look in the bulletin so I'm not giving you the wrong information, but I think it's the 8th. Yeah, the 8th of September will be the day that we go 8:30 and 11:15. All right, not next weekend. Okay? So just make note of that. We're in transition, ministry transition. At this point, Beth and Brad have started to make their way out west. They're traveling. God bless them. They also let us know last week when they were here that they're going to be grandparents. That's exciting news for them. So we give thanks to God for the new beginnings that are happening for them. But at this point, as far as the 10:30, 11:15 service goes, our contemporary service, R.J. Neiman has agreed to step up and take the lead on the band. So he'll be working very closely with Lois, our music director.
The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about this grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future. Our building is handicapped accessible. If you would like more information about St. John's or about our faith as Lutheran Christians, please write to us. We also welcome your comments and suggestions about our broadcast. If you would like to help sponsor one of our broadcasts, we would welcome your support. Write or call our church office for information. Our address is 67 Litchfield Avenue, Depew, New York, 14043. You can also email us. Our email address is secretary@sjlcdepew.com. This is your announcer, Karen Borowski Dowdle, wishing you God's protection and care for you in the days ahead.
Amen. But if you could, just take a minute or two and sign that mat, and then we're going to fill the mat with a picture of the church or something like that. So just take a minute and sign that if you would. Okay? Anything else for the good of the group? No? Okay. That's it. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.